little bit later. Item two, approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion on approving the minutes?
Motion approved.
Second.
I see a motion to approve by Trustee Cannon and a second by Trustee McDermott. Any questions or discussion on the minutes? Okay, Trustee McDermott, how do you vote?
Aye.
Trustee Cousin?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
And I'm voting aye. I didn't miss anyone, right? The motion passes. Item number three, age, annuity, retirement information only. Are there any questions on this item? Seeing no questions, let's move on to item number four, contribution withdrawals information only. Any questions on this item? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number five, age, annuity, retirement, and service-connected disability. Does staff want to say anything about this item?
These are two members who are already retired on their age annuity, and they've also applied for their service-connected disability. They both retired in May. The Yale reports and also the chronology from Yvonne Duzon are included in the packet. If anyone has specific questions, Yvonne might be able to elaborate on it.
Are there any questions on the side? Seeing no questions, I'd entertain a motion to approve these two individuals.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
So I saw Trustee Cannon did the motion and Trustee McDermott beat Trustee Ribeiro to the second. Trustee McDermott, how do you vote?
Yes, aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
And I am voting yes as well. Item number six, death after retirement, information only. Are there, entertain a motion, let's take a moment of silence for Timothy King, Stanley Krisnell, and Charles Legrand. Thank you. Item number seven, payment of the bills. Are there any questions on this item? Entertainment motion to approve payment of the bills.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Ribeiro moved the item for approval and Trustee Cannon seconded. Trustee Cousin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
And I'm voting yes as well. Is there any old business? No. Any new business?
Mayor.
Go ahead, Trustee Cannon.
Trustee Elliker. I believe it was two meetings ago. I just casually pointed out that the pension board should look into having a conversation with the city due to possible pension bond obligation, whether it be the right time, what the parameters would be as far as rates and the city's willingness to look into it. Financially, from a fiduciary standpoint with our board, it would probably make would be a very opportunistic time to get involved. I know that there's a lot of turmoil in the market and a lot of unrest in the country and a lot of things going on with the COVID, but I think that it would be smart if we put some effort into looking into it. Doesn't mean that the city's going to be willing to do it or able to do it, but it's something that we should look into.
I'm wondering if Mr. Gormany, you might respond to that.
Sure, thank you. Yes, currently I have talked to the mayor about pension obligation bonds before, you know, I have the city's financial advisors along with doing a variety of other things, looking into that possibility to give the mayor the best scenarios to, you know, see, as you said, the market right now is, it did stabilize since February and March when COVID-19 started. But as far as like the municipal market, there's still some up and down. So I do have our financial advisors looking into whether this is still the best time to look into something like that. Even if we were to look into something like that, you know, we would still, the process would still need Board of Alder approval to do that. And right now they are on summer schedule, which means they only have one meeting for June, July, and August. So again, right now that is something we're looking at. And again, we have to also do the analysis of what is the right amount for the city to borrow. If we were to do pension obligation bonds as well. So.
Mr. Gormley, thank you. And we, you and I have spoken about this, I think maybe one or two conversations. I understand your concerns with the time, with the implementation time of getting it by the Board of Alders to the Board of Alders and understanding it. There's going to be some questions to be answered on their side of the ball, but my questions are, is it the right opportunistic time to get involved and look into it? Rate wise, not the market wise, the volatility, the rate. And that's something we'd have to talk to like a banker about to lock down a better idea. And from there, we can determine whether it would be beneficial to the city and to the board. I believe it would be our pension would be benefited. But I also believe that the city, just running some basic numbers, would save a lot of money, possibly in the near future, by addressing that. With the rates being so low, it's like refinancing a house.
Yep.
So I just want to put that out there that I think that it's something we really need to look into as far as the rate. Then we'll worry about whether the Board of Alders and the city are capable of understanding it and wanting to accept it. But I think as our board, we should look into it. So I'm not sure if that's something you can do for us.
Yeah, sure. What I can do is I really had our financial advisors, I will circle back with them. They've been focusing on a few other items that are coming due in July for us. So, but I will ask them to see what they can turn around in the next week or so for me to talk to the mayor about and see what it's like with the rates and the market and everything else.
Great. I appreciate that. I mean, I know everyone's busy and focusing on a lot of different things. I just hate to let this opportunistic time get away from us.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trustee Cannon, for pushing that. It sounds like a good idea to explore more. Is there any other new or old business? Okay, so let's move on to item number one. Raymond James.
Good morning. Everybody can hear me?
Yep.
Hi, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a tumultuous couple weeks, so hopefully everybody's safe and sound. There's a bit of housekeeping. I wanted to do that while we had everybody still present. Leanna, do you want to have me talk about the Invesco letter right now? You're on mute.
Sorry. Yeah, might as well just bring that up now.
Okay. I could share it on my screen, I believe, if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead. If you need me to, let me know.
No, I'm going to try. Can everybody see that?
Negative.
No. Let me try. Let's see.
I don't know if you had it in your info package or not.
No.
I could handle it without it.
Okay,
so we have a legacy investment that was made back in 2007, a firm called Invesco, very large firm. This is a private equity investment. It's called Partnership 5 Fund. of many of which we invested with Invesco. So again, this started in 2007, and it had a full life, and it's approaching its 13th year. So this original investment was a 10-year commitment, plus they had the ability to do 2 1-year extensions. So we're at the point now where they're nearing the end of it. And so what they've done is they've engaged an outside firm called Evercore. And this firm is going to go out there and try to sell the remaining interest in this fund. So it's a smaller amount of what's left. They've had a good run. They've averaged about 16% a year gross for us, getting down to about 13%. So what they're going to do is try to sell this small remaining lot of companies through a third-party marketer or what's called the secondaries market. They will get a discount to the value of those investments. However, it should only have an impact of about 1% on the total underlying investment. So if they do get consent from all of their limited partners, so we're a limited partner, they're the general partner. So there's multiple limited partners out there, of which we're probably one of the smallest, given the fact that we're a mid-sized pension versus the major cities and states. If we consent, they're going to try to liquidate this through the secondaries market and have an event that happens prior to 9/30 of this year. So my recommendation would be to agree with this. And my simple reason is that two reasons. We'd like to get our money back. We've done well with this. And secondly, our vote will probably have very little to do with the total outcome. It'll be a majority of the LPs that vote in favor, which they will, in my opinion. And regardless of whether we vote yay or nay, that should be executed. Regardless of that, though, I think it's a good move for us to give the ability to do that and to move on. So I believe this needs to be voted on. It's something that is due tomorrow, June 26th or 27th. And there is an attachment to their package that they sent us, which I think Leanna could produce, and we could have the proper people sign.
Leanna, are you able to pull that up?
Yep, I'm going to pull up the. Can you guys see?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah.
It's due. They just sent it last Thursday. This is the disclosure memo they sent.
Yeah, there should be another attachment, which is then, the.
Yeah, the other attachment is the consent form. Let me open that one.
We're in the global fund.
Can you see this one? Consent to sale transaction?
Nope.
All right, let me try.
There we go. I'm sure that's multiple pages. That's the discount on there where it says 76%. They're going to take a 24% discount. We had a similar conversation with the Surf Board last week regarding how this operates.
Dave, if I may, where does this fit in with our allocation?
It is probably less than 1%. Obviously, it's probably closer to about 30 basis points of the entire portfolio, if not less than that.
It's part of the private equity portfolio, though.
Oh, yeah. It's part of the private equity portfolio. I'm just talking about the percentage of the total portfolio.
It doesn't set the balance of where we're at, right?
Is that
the allocation?
Yeah, it's of the 10% allocated to private equity. This is about 1/3 of 1% of that portfolio. So you're looking at roughly $1 million, give or take, that's left in that portfolio, between $1 million and $1.5 million. I got to check with BNY, but it's a small amount of money. And we've been returned all of our principal plus plus more. So I think it's actually in that number, but it was almost two times our original investment was returned to us over, you know, a significant amount of time.
Are there any questions for Raymond James?
The amount to get involved, Dave, what's it going to take?
Or this is for us, there's nothing involved. All we're going to do is get money back. There's no prior, no more investment. All we're going to do is get back whatever's on the balance of our books. We're probably looking to get back. I mean, simple math is 75% of it. So that what they're doing is they're rounding it up into the total picture of the original fund. So it's only going to knock about 1% off our total return over the last decade plus. So there's no investment. There's no more commitment. This is simply a liquidation phase that I would guarantee that will be approved by all limited partners. There's no reason to fight it. They'll probably distribute a small little piece of a company that we'd have to go sell. And then you're talking about costs.
Well, obviously you're recommending that we approve this.
Correct. Up for discussion, that's fine, but my recommendation would be to say yes.
Mayor, if you're entertaining motions, I'll make a motion to take the advice of our investment consultant and move forward with this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Cannon. There's been a motion by Mr. Cannon. Is there a second to approve it?
Second.
Okay. I see a motion and a second. Trustee Ribeiro, how do you vote?
Yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes as well. The item passes.
Now, Dave, is that something that the mayor needs to sign?
That's a good question. Let me reach out to Invesco. I have an email into him this morning regarding another similar question, and I'll get the authorized signer. It might have changed over the years on their books.
Okay.
It's so long, so hopefully it's someone on the board, if not yourself or possibly Jerry. So I'll find that out. We'll get that signed, and then I'll put it on my calendar, report back to the board in the October meeting since they have a 9:30 deadline, and I'll give you an update as to where we stand with that as far as distributions.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, with that said, we'll move on to the report. We're going to go through the actual portfolio first, then we'll talk about what's going on in the investment world and what we think we should do.
Which one do you need me to share, the June one or the...
Should just say PNF, I think, on it.
The May or... Okay. This one?
Nope. Well, you...
The other one?
That one close. Yeah, we're going to do that. I think we should go over the portfolio first. Excellent. Page forward. Can you make that a little bit bigger, I think, for folks? Well, whatever everybody's comfortable with, I can see that.
Maybe this page?
Yeah. Maybe 50% would probably work better. Either way, as long as everybody can see, you probably have one, obviously, emailed to you. So let's talk about the broad markets and what has been happening. It's kind of repetitive over the last number of months, and I apologize to Mayor Alicker. You hear this twice a month, so hopefully it won't be too repetitive, but there are different portfolios. So the broad market going into this month, as of May numbers, had a really good rally since our bottoms. You can see on the column where it says May 20th, virtually all equity markets have really, really rallied for the month. Done very, very well. If you look over the year date number, you can see that the markets are still down as of May 30th, 31st. However, we've had a very good June, so we'll be having a decent meeting in August talking about July, talking about June numbers. If you look through those numbers on the year-to-date column, like we talked about last meeting, the larger the capitalization, with the Russell 3000 being the most broad market index, best returns. If you go down to the mid and to the small, you can see the returns are less. And the other theme going on here is that growth is dominated, especially in large cap and small cap. So if you go down to the Russell 2000 line, which is the last line in there, you can look at small cap value. and that's that negative 25% number. So small caps have obviously been out of favor, and then small cap value has been really crushed. So it's hard to look at the TV and say, what did the Dow do today? What did the S&P do today? Because we don't own just the Dow and the S&P. We own multiple asset classes in both equities and fixed income, as well as alternatives. So some of the markets are doing well, other ones are struggling. Below that is international. Again, a good rebound, but again, a challenge throughout the world for the year, worse than the United States. Fixed income, you can see the only thing to look at fixed income is that, yes, it had a balancing month. Basically, everything that did very well throughout the first part of this year in the downturn, and then the second part of this first half of the year, the stuff that did poorly as rebounds. So a little bit of balance there. A lot of it has to do with credit spreads, with equities that are companies that distribute corporate bonds, and that has improved. We'll talk about that when we get farther along into the market commentary. Real estate below that, which is that the REIT or REIT column, absolutely a challenging year, down 17%. And then you have hedge funds, which are down about 3.5% still year to date. So we can flip over to Police and Fire. Concentrate on the 1 and 3 month. You could look at the year to date for some of them. Some of that data is still, a few of them are still being brought in from Morgan Stanley when it comes to information, but we will have that information by the end of this month for the fiscal year report. It's a very important month in June. As we all know, we live by a June 30th deadline in this world. So we're hoping that we continue this rally through then. So for the portfolio for the month, we were up 3.07%, just below our benchmark, but outperforming for the 3 month period, down 154 versus 3.41 to the downside. And then year to date number, again, outperforming our benchmark, which is a good relative number, but it's still an absolute return. So we're trying to hopefully get this portfolio positive for the year, which we're getting very close to looking at it more recently. Below that, we get into stocks. We have a large allocation to large cap, which is our Sizer portfolio. We've been adding to that over the number of months. We've talked about it with both boards, which has turned out to be a good time to be doing that. So Sizer, it's a core manager, large cap core, which is both growth and value. So for the month, they had a great run of 461, just above their bogey there, the S&P. And if you look at the three-month number, outperforming on the upside and then outperforming on the downside in the year-to-date number. Aristotle is a large-cap value manager, had a great month, and a great 3 months when it comes to protecting principal. We do have the year-to-date numbers and the 1 years that we'll get into the next report. For the fiscal, we're just consolidating that through the outside information systems. Below that, we have mid-cap. Again, stocks, a big portfolio with Cook & Bieler. They manage a couple different portfolios. Their mid-cap value portfolio up 527 for the month, just behind the mid-cap value index. 3 months down a little bit less than their index, and then their year-to-date numbers in line, and their one-year overall numbers very well in line and better than their index. Below that, we have Mutual of America. Again, same story. Great month, fighting back for the 3 months and the year-to-dates. And then you have two different indexes that have been moved out of there. They're just line items that we need to get off the report. If there's anything in those accounts at all that generates a line item, which we will remove. Below that is the small cap portfolio. You can see here again, we're going back to the growth theme. Clearbridge is a small cap growth manager, $12 million for the month. I mean, look at that number, 1363. That would be a good year for most managers. So a great run right there. And then their 3 month number and their year to date number are outstanding. That 1 year number is needs to be revised. That's not correct. Their 3 month and year to date numbers are very good in their portfolio. Below that's value. You can see again, growth outperforming value in pretty much any asset class on the equity side, as far as capitalization. Cook & Bieler small cap values up 7%. And you can see the other numbers there also that are outperforming on the downside. So you're seeing a lot of active management here, really outperforming in these volatile market types, downside capture, upside capture. So it's not always the case in a raging bull market. indexing seems to make a lot of sense. And then when we get volatility, it seems like we pay people to do the right thing. So that's working out. Channing is a manager that's on watch. We've met with them a number of times. We've reduced their portfolio by 50%. Their numbers for the month up 7%, pretty good. And then if you look at their numbers over time, again, that 57 will be revised with the data for the fiscal, but they've caught up, but they've continued to be challenged. So my recommendation is we're going to keep an eye on them through June 30th. And then if the performance and communication with the manager doesn't sit well with us, I think we should bring it to the board for the possibility of a search in that asset class. Now, small caps, even though they've been way out of favor, and we actually debated this not only as a firm, but between our team, when's the right time? Because small caps really tend to outperform coming out of recessionary environments. Question is, when are we going to do that? We look at jobless claims and what's going on with the economy and when it's going to bounce back. It's a very, very challenging question for most. People are talking about V-shaped recovery and the economy and all that. However, in job markets and other things, it could be much more prolonged. So when does that really kick in, and when's the right time to do it? So nothing imminent needs to be done. I think we should keep an eye on them, possibly do a search in the way in which these funds work. That could be, months in the making. So we could be in the fall, but by the time we actually rehire, and that could be a good time going into that asset class, at least to change managers. Turn over to international. First one's an index investment. You can skip through that. WCM, manager in both portfolios, Citi's pension and ours. Great manager, greatly outperformed for the month, for the 3 months, and for the year. They West Coast firm that is really just a great stock picking portfolio. And I actually tend to look at what they own. I don't dive into a lot of individual portfolios a lot, but I do look at their portfolio a lot just to see what they own out there, because you don't see those stocks in other portfolios. And it's I've talked to the manager a number of times about where they come up with these, and it's really ground up investments. They really go out there and kick the tires and figure out what good companies are doing, and it's fun to watch where they find these and what they're buying. So they've done well for that reason. They're not just buying an index. They're going out there and kicking the tires and finding quality companies. Well, that's another index investment. And then you have Lazard, which is a manager we've been involved with for a number of years, and they've done a good job. Very, very large international manager, and very, very well known within the pension community. State of Connecticut has a significant amount of money with them, as well as most other major funds. Below that, you go down to fixed income, and Atalanta is our most recent investment. They're a corporate bond manager. We had a presentation. I'm not sure if everyone here was in that room. It might have predated Mayor Elker, but they did come in, and we allocated $15 million to them, so they're just out of the gate in good shape right there. Corporate bond managers are going to obviously have an effect when it comes to where rates are, and then where the credit quality of these bonds are. So they got in at a good time when there was some volatility to pick up some stuff at a discount. Western, more of a core manager, safety wise, and then Mutual of America, doing their job, pretty benign numbers for the month on all fronts, and then for the year to date number, they're really there to balance the ship, stick to our allocation, and preserve principal, and hopefully make some when times get. To get better. So they're all doing their job and doing it well, in our opinion. Cincinnati, on the next page. Hopefully I'm letting everybody keep up here. Cincinnati is another corporate manager. It actually goes out a little farther on lower on the credit rating. So they're not just in A bonds, they're down to Bs and Cs. And the lower you get on a credit rated bond, the higher the coupon, right? The higher the interest someone's gonna pay you if their credit's not as good. If you go out there, you get a mortgage and your credit score is 500, you're going to get a different rate on that mortgage versus someone with an 800 credit score, if there's anyone out there with an 800 credit score. When Cincinnati manages money, again, they're going to have more of a correlation to stocks, because the better stocks do, usually the better credit spreads do, the better bonds perform. So on their 1 month number, as a bond manager up 270, you're going to see that when it has a higher correlation to lower rated fixed income. So they've done very, very well to bounce back with the equity markets. And I believe in July, when we see that number, it'll be the same type of theme. Going back down to cash, Common question. We're right now sitting at about $10 million, give or take, in cash on our books. Northern Trust is pretty fully funded, I believe. Derek could chime in on that. But you know, we are sending out $5 million a month to pay benefits, which is a large chunk of the portfolio. So what we're trying to do is buy time. We're going to get some money in from the BNY account on the alternatives, which should flush us a little bit to get us through the next couple months. And then hopefully through Mr. Gormley in the city, we should be getting some replenishment going into the fall, which I think would be a very good, well-timed time to be getting some money to reallocate or to switch the portfolio around a little bit. We're taking an active look right now at the asset allocation of the funds. We're pretty much in line. If you want to go up, Leanna, the rest of it's all our alternatives, which are fairly stagnant, except for the page 8. It talks about our allocation, and we're still pretty well aligned with our goals. I mean, our allocation is not that far out of whack with where we were. We're coming into this, and you know, because of the way in which we tweak the portfolio at times with cash to get it out, we're still pretty much in line with where we want to be. So when new money comes in, the question is, where do we want to be weighted with that? And that's really our job. We talked about last meeting, our ability to move money prior to meetings or intra-meeting. And I think there's a big difference when we talk about that, and we could open up for a quick discussion, but there's a big difference between giving someone the ability to go out there and make decisions with your money about what to buy and what to sell. And that's where we hire quality managers in bonds, stocks, private equity to do that. For our team to go out there and say, hey, we should make a change based on our assumptions to our asset allocation to take from one manager and put to another, that's something we might be able to discuss over the next, you know, 6 months to a year. But before that would ever happen, what we do on a monthly basis is continue to look at this and say, hey, as it is right now, we're fine. If we're infused with cash, where would we add to? So what we're doing right now is taking a look at that. We're trying to be forward-looking as to where we think the markets are going to be, not next month, but possibly the next 6 months to a year, and then even farther out, you know, 6 years to 10. So we're doing that, and we'll have some ideas for you as to where to add to the portfolio when we do get that money. We could discuss the portfolio, or I could open it up to some market commentary, which would be that next slide. Not the next one. Sorry, the next attachment. Sorry, Leanna.
Oh, sorry.
So I feel bad because you had such a brief meeting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this brief. I didn't expect all of you to bring this home and read it. Hopefully someone did, but that's not something you need to do. So instead of sitting here and have you read the entire document, I'm just going to highlight some of the stuff that's going on, and you could just work with me and I'll tell Leanna which page to do. So this is a short-term summary. This is not that far dated. This is June 18th of last week. So it's the day after the SURF meeting. I think it was Thursday. So it's up to date, and it talks about, again, a similar theme of, you know, where we are and where we think opportunities would be. Right now, we have a combination of a couple of things that are moving the market. So you have the Fed stepping in a week ago and giving us a boost when it comes to buying back corporate bonds. We have a positive situation on some fronts back then on COVID. This is before this last week's data. and then we had some other interesting stuff when it comes to stimulus with the $1 trillion stimulus package from the government. So a lot of stuff going in the right direction and a lot of stuff kind of offsetting it. We did have an 8% pullback a week before last, which again, that we've talked about being a healthy pullback in the market, and we bounced from there and have been doing pretty well with that. Basically, if a pullback comes and we think it'll be fairly well consolidated because of a number of things, including large cash balances out there, that we think it would be an opportune time to be adding to the portfolio if we have the ability to do that. So on pullbacks, add to the portfolio in sectors that we like, which again would be depending on which managers we would add to. So for now, we think that it's a pretty range-bound environment, except unless we have something positive to the upside or something dramatically detrimental to the downside, kind of in a range right here. So if you look at the next page, talks about some of the reasons as to why the market's moving. We had a year-over-year sales number, retail sales number, which was outstanding, up the largest it's ever been. So we're seeing a little bit of bounce back with people going and spending money. But we're looking at a lot of different stuff on the macro side. We're looking at housing, we're looking at retail sales, and we're looking at jobless claims. So we're trying to just get a forward-looking estimate as to where we're going to be down the road and look for good signs within the economy, which has to do with forward-looking numbers on the macro side. So we're looking at all that, and we're hoping that things bounce, and we're praying that we don't get a significant setback on that. Go back to the next page, or forward to the next page. Simply talks about earnings, where we are. We have a trough in earnings, so down 43%. We think that's a bottoming signal, in our opinion. And we're thinking that on our base case scenario, which is the bottom of the paragraph there on the left, we're looking at an upside scenario of 3384 on the S&P. So that's about 10% higher than we are right now. I believe we closed at 3050 on the S&P last night. So you got a movement there of about 10% to the upside. Next page talks about technical support, which is what I was talking about. We're at 3050. We would probably get a problem above that at 3136, which means people would be sellers there, and we'd be buying the market for the most part below 3000 down to that 2950 level. And then again, if it breaks through that, we'd be really looking for opportunities below that. Just trying to expedite this for you. If you turn over again, this is a page that we've seen in the past. Simple story. 09, 82, 75, 2020. We see a significant V in the market. We see significant pullbacks over time. And when we have those pullbacks, 9, 8, 7, we look to add to the market or at least hold on to what we own. So that's what we're doing right now. The next two pages are three pages. We don't need to get into too much of that. The only page I want to look at is the page that I think it's page 7. And then I'll actually keep on going. Page 9. Continue. Oh, did we miss one? Go back. I'm sorry. Unless it's not in this. One more. There we go. This is one more. Back. There we go. So this is a good sign. One of the good signs besides the market bouncing back and the economy hopefully bouncing back is that very simple math. A ton of people have a lot of cash on the sidelines. So the retail investor, like they always do, like a lot of us have done, is they sell at the wrong time. So we have a lot of people that got out of this market at possibly the worst time for good reasons. It's very easy to sit here and say, hey, you know, keep all your money in there. The world's coming to an end and don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It's different on the institutional side. Okay. We're managing public funds. None of this is technically our own individual money. So we try to stick to our guns and stick to our allocations. And that saves these big public funds because we don't do rash things at rash times. So that helps us. But the retail investor doesn't have that. They have emotion. They have fear and greed. So when you're fearful, you sell and you go to cash. And then they wonder when they can get back in and when's the right time. Well, this market moves so fast back to where it is right now that people are saying, I missed it. So there's a lot of money market funds out there. And it's really one of the largest times we've seen in a decade or two as far as having money on the sidelines. And simple math says that if we have a significant pullback, we will see money being put back into the market for people that think they missed it. And that should buoy any of these short-term pull downs. And with that, we just pray that this COVID disappears and the social unrest gets better. And the rest of it, when it comes to what we do for a living on the money side, will follow. And we're praying for that and hoping that that does happen. So with that said, I could open up to any questions anyone has, or I will be quiet and let you move on with your day.
Any questions?
The only question I have isn't really directed at our financial advisors, but hopefully they'll find it useful. We're coming up on the new fiscal year for the city, and typically we get our contribution at the end of the first quarter of that fiscal year. Do we know what our financial advisors can expect the funds to receive from the city, and when that's scheduled to come in?
Mr. Gormley?
Yeah, currently I'm working on the new fiscal year projections and everything else, and we're looking at a variety of mechanisms, but right now I still expect the same timing of contribution, which was the end of September, beginning of October, for the contribution to both SERF and PNF.
Okay. And what is what are the numbers on that look like right now? Do we know?
If you, I can come back to that. Let me just open a file and I can, give me 2 minutes and I can get back to you.
That's fine. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
One question. Dave, you had mentioned Channing Capital on watch.
Yeah.
Are you concerned things have gotten, I mean, they seem to be back on track. Can you tell me where we're at with our contribution? Because I know we pulled some money back from them, and since that's happened, I know that they've been on watch for the remaining money. But how much do we have with them right now that is actual investment or was left there as proceeds from whatever they had going previously?
Well, we had at the top of it, we had about $20 million. I believe we had about $20 million, and then we had the downturn. So right now, long story short, we have a little over $8 million, actually probably about $8.5 million. I could actually look it up, but I don't want to take your time. About $8.5 million. I could go back historically and look at exactly what their deposits were from us as far as what they got and all that. But more importantly, what I want to do is I look at their numbers and I look at it against the Russell 2000, okay? So they're managing money, and then you have the index, which is just blindly owning stocks and not managed. What I want to do is go back into the universe of small cap managers, small cap core managers. So they're both growth and value, small cap core managers. And I want to put them against their peer group in the entire universe of what they do. So I want to see not only that's fine. They're underperforming their index. How are they doing relative to their peers? So that's where we go out and do a quantitative analysis on the computer. We pump in their data and say, okay, Channing looks good. They're not that bad, but if I put them in there and they're in the fourth quartile, the bottom 25%, it's going to again trigger me to say, hey, what's going on and why are you doing this? And they'll come back to me probably and say, this is why we're underperforming and this is where we've been overweight energy or we made a bad call not owning technology. They're going to have a story with that. And my retort to that, our group's retort to that is going to say, all right, you're on watch and that's fine, but everyone else has not made that call. So with that said, if we hear stuff that we don't think is a good reason as to their underperformance or where they think they're going to make it back. Again, I think we should not just fire them initially. We go out there, we do a search. That takes us a number of meetings to get done. And once we do that search and we believe that it's a better opportunity, we terminate Channing. We put the money with a new manager and we move forward. Worst case scenario, if I get off the call with them in the next week and they say that, you know, after management has left and they didn't tell us, then we're going to liquidate it and go to an index and wait until we do a search. But I think on the small cap value side or small cap any side or small cap core, the lower the capitalization of these managers are, the harder it is to just buy an index. It's really stock picking when you get down to the smaller ones. The market's been driven right now by large cap growth. Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, very small amount of numbers of people are managing money that are making this. I mean, small amount of these companies that are really driving this market. Really quickly, on the first page of that second handout that I read, simple math here, simple statement. The S&P 500 is up down 3.6% year to date, okay? The S&P equally weighted 500 is down 10%. So down 3% for the S&P, equally weighted down 10%. The S&P 500 is market capitalization weighted, meaning that the larger the capitalization, meaning Apple, the more it drives the return of that index. The lower, the 500th company in that index has the least amount of impact, the least amount of attribution to that return. So what it's saying there is that if all of them were equally weighted, the market would be down 10%. But because of the non-equally weighted, the market capitalization weighted, the Apples, the Microsofts, the Googles, the top five are driving that market by themselves. It's very, very narrow, and it's not a great thing to have because it doesn't take much on that front to really turn this market over and see what we saw back in March. You only have to do is sell 5 to 10 names, and you're going to crush the S&P, right? So again, I think that the lower the capitalization and the lower you get down into the mid and smalls, it's really important, in my opinion, to have active management, and I think we should take a look at Channing because of that and see why we should not own someone else that's in that asset class.
No, I agree, and we'll do simple math again. We started with 20. We pulled back, I believe, 10. And now that we have an $8.5 million investment with them, I definitely think we need to really look at where we're going with that. I mean, this is a legacy thing from, I think, I believe, prior to all of us at this board, including you. This
yes.
From Larry Gray days. This is one of his picks. And it's something that we always struggle to terminate with them. We wanted to give everybody a little bit more of a chance, but this has gone on long enough. I mean, we got to figure out what we're going to do with this company on that last $8.5 million we have with them. So if you could look into what we received in earnings from them over time, and if we're out for at least, I mean, if we're even on our investment, then we should definitely look at taking that into consideration about making a move from them. We're at $8.5 million now, basic math. Like I said, we 20 million start 20 something years ago. And here we are at $8.5 million after taking 10 back from us. We're down $1.5 million on basic math, but there could have been earnings over the year.
Yeah. But there was earnings of the year. There's earnings. You're down 20% year to date. So there's your quick math on the eight. But they've made money over the years. But I know that Grayco did hire that manager years ago. But I'm not going to say that I don't own the fact that I've kept them around the last 5 years. We did make a call to take half their money away. But I will own the fact that we retained them on my recommendation. And I have spoken to them at length. But I will speak to them again and make a final recommendation to the board in the very near future.
Okay. And to your point, Pat, this is Derek. I apologize. I had to drop to a conference call because my computer was acting up. But I could have a peer universe search that Dave was talking about for the next meeting. So I will have that prepared for the board for next month.
Great. Thank you.
Trustee Cannon, the amount that, based on our actuarials for fiscal year 2021, is $39.5 million. That's what the contribution to PNF would be from the city.
Great. And I know historically we've tried to make sure that the bulk of it was there by the end of the first quarter, which, as you said, is September, October. Based on the optimism on the market, I'd love to continue the trend to make sure it's there. In September, October. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions before we adjourn? Any other questions before we adjourn? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. McDermott made the motion, and I believe Mr. Cannon beat Mr. Cousin to the second there. On that motion, Mr. McDermott, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. The meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day, everyone.
All right, good to see you
all. Thank you, you too.